Good morning, everybody. Yesterday, we kept the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. The point we are now looking at is post-millennial, picturing the Great Resurrection. But an interesting thing happened between these 2 days, effectively last night, while we were sleeping. Turn, please, to Revelation 20, and we'll read from verse 7. Revelation 20, starting in verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. There is so much to learn from just these few verses. The peace that everyone will have enjoyed for the whole millennium will be brought about by two vital things: the removal of Satan, the enemy, and his broadcast will bring about an absence of war, but peace will require the pouring out of God's Holy Spirit. Note that the very first thing that Satan does after he is released for that short while is attempt to break the peace and incite a war. And where does he go to incite this war? Right back to Gog and Magog, the very same peoples that rose up to fight Christ at his return. And at this time, God will not spare any of the army. They will be totally destroyed. No bones to bury for 7 months, no weapons to burn for 7 years, like it was at the beginning of the millennium. This time, as the King James Version translates it, they will be devoured. The Greek word used here is Strong's 2917, katestheo, and it literally means to eat or consume. Another interesting thing is just how much involvement the people had in that final war. Absolutely nothing. It was just like us being asleep last night. It is God that will bring about the peace at the beginning of the millennium. And it will be God that will restore and preserve that peace by totally destroying the physical threat and then removing the cause, Satan. As has already been mentioned throughout this week, this year marks 100 years since the start of World War I, a war that was described as the war to end all wars. However, as we will go on to see, it was a lot of things, but the war to end all wars, it was not. We think of this last 100 years as being a time of relative peace, punctuated by the two world wars. But there hasn't been a single year since the start of the First World War where either Britain or America haven't been involved in some form of war or conflict. This has led to over 2 million confirmed deaths in Britain and America alone as a result of war. This does not include people missing, presumed dead, or the scores of people that died after the wars as a result of poisoning, malnutrition, or disease. As was brought out in the video earlier this week, the First World War resulted in a total of over 16 million deaths and over 20 million wounded. Far from being the end of all wars, it ushered in a new era of technological advancement, which within a few short years led to the estimated 50 to 85 million fatalities during the six years of the Second World War. The final battle with Gog and Magog that will take place at the end of the millennium will be the real war to end all wars. As we just read in Revelation, there isn't a great deal of detail given about this final, but very one-sided battle. The army arises to attack, and God totally annihilates them. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, Ezekiel records the prophecies given to him about the rise of Gog and Magog, both at the beginning and at the end of the millennium. Turn, please, to Ezekiel 38, and we'll read a little bit more detail from the prophecy. Ezekiel 38, and we'll start at verse 1. And the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Just skip down to verse 8. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years there shall come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people, against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, Thus saith the Lord God, In that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from the place out of the north part, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and will bring thee against my land. I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, Art that he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time, when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places shall fall and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him, and upon his bands, and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain, and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. The battle with Gog and Magog is prophecy, history that just hasn't happened yet. But the word of God, preserved for us in the Bible, also records for us history to give an insight into how God thinks. Keep a finger, if you would, in Ezekiel and turn now to Exodus 14. And we'll read a bit about a time in history where God totally destroyed the greatest army on the face of the earth at that time, as there are some interesting similarities. Exodus 14, and starting in verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Eternal caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Eternal looked into the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Eternal fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Eternal said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. and the Eternal overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. The interesting bit to note there is in verse 24. God supernaturally took off the chariot wheels. Why? Well, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Eternal fighteth for them against the Egyptians." Just before they died, God showed them who they were really fighting. And they got the message, loud and clear. Let's go back to the future now and turn to Ezekiel 39, and we'll see something similar. Ezekiel 39 and verse 3, it says, "And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand." Before destroying the armies of Gog and Magog, in this instance at the start of the millennium, God will give them a witness, much like he did to the Egyptian armies. They will know that they were not fighting the seemingly defenseless inhabitants of the unwalled villages, but instead the Eternal. In this age, war is a central part of our society, education, tradition, and even the economy. History as taught in schools is largely a string of dates of wars. We have poetry and even children's stories based around war and fictional characters. Things like Biggles and Sharp and Hornblower and all their amazing adventures, which are predominantly based on historical events. Currently, global annual military expenditure stands at $1.7 trillion. Just under half of that being spent by the United States alone to create weapons of death and destruction. The arms industry forms one of the biggest parts of the Western economy. On a local level, it doesn't matter where you are in Britain. If you drive through a village, you will at some point find a war monument in dedication to those lost in war. So why did World War I, the so-called war to end all wars, not only fail to end wars, but actually ushered in a new age of war as technology advanced over the following century? Quite simply because man didn't change. They continued to stay tuned in to Satan's broadcast, a broadcast based on fierce competition, strife, envy, and a desire for power. All things which, unless repented of, lead to the ultimate conclusion, war. As we saw in the video that was played earlier this week, the philosophies of the people at the top didn't change. Instead, they became more ingrained and eventually used to inspire the very people that led the world back into war within a few short years. A large number of people resurrected during the White Throne Judgment period would have had some involvement in war or conflict. Either they were killed in war, had relatives or loved ones who were killed, or maybe they were involved in the military themselves. The world they will be resurrected in, too, will be completely foreign to them. For the past 1,000 years, there will not have been a physical human army. At the beginning of the millennium, the people will be taught to beat their swords into plowshares, and neither shall they learn war anymore. Then God shows how the people will be protected by annihilating the forces of Gog and Magog as a witness to both the people of Israel and also to the other nations. To reinforce this, the very first job of the people coming into the millennium will be to bury the bones of the armies of Gog and Magog, an army so great that they won't need to chop down a tree for 7 years, because they'll be burning all the arms and debris left by the army. This is also one final bit of aversion therapy. The end results of the battle at the beginning of the millennium are the same as the results of man's wars. Bodies scattered everywhere, loads of debris requiring a colossal clean-up operation. However, after 1,000 years of an abundance of peace, shalom, with mankind having not learned war or invested any of the nation's wealth in a defense industry, when the threat of war arises, man will have learnt to rely on God. And this time, when the threat arises, God will totally destroy the army, devouring it, leaving nothing. For the final word, let's turn back to Ezekiel 38, if you kept your finger there, and we'll finish up by reading verse 23. "Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Eternal.